You know, my thoughts on Bermuda shorts are we need to bring them back from the early 2000s. Probably the plaid from Aeropostale. Is Aeropostale still a thing? Not sure.
Hey, welcome back.
To
FSM Podcast. My name is Hunter House.
And my name is Amy Anderson.
Okay. Let me talk more normal. My name's Amy Anderson.
How you
that
doing,
That wasn't
Amy?
Even my voice.
Wow, you doing good today?
Yeah, doing good. Just having some good quarantine time. How about you, Hunter?
We are in the middle, I guess, 2 weeks in, weekend of quarantine.
Yeah, spring break's going on right now. Well, last week probably felt like spring break to you guys, honestly.
Yep. My kids are going nuts. I've played 20 games of Stratego.
What's Stratego? Please tell us.
Oh, it's a board game. Played that with Hank. And,
nerd.
Yeah, he only beat me once. Not a big deal at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's
I'm
19
and
smart.
1. It's a good percentage. Well, hey, what you been up to in quarantine time?
Yeah, quarantine time from Amy, you know, looks, whenever I'm not working, looks like a lot of movie time. My roommates and I have made a movie list. Is anyone really surprised about that? Are you surprised about that I made a movie list?
No.
No one's really surprised about that.
What y'all watching?
Yeah. So we got some good classics on there. We got Star Wars. We got Narnia.
Did you know that I was in Chronicles of Narnia?
Wait.
Mr. Tumnus, right? Mr. Tumnus, check it out. We'll have to post a high school picture of
Hunter. I remember that. Weren't you like his double for James McAvoy?
Yeah. It's a fun,
man,
really good looking
dude.
How did
your acting career not take off?
I have no idea. Yeah. All right, so what movies have you been on?
Yeah. So we've watched a lot of Star Wars this week. We also watched almost all the Pirates of the Caribbean. So we have this big long list, but we're gonna add some to the list. But there's also some movies, you know, that I can watch with my roommates, but also probably some that I need to watch by myself because they're like intense or like tearjerkers, you know? One of them
like
would
A Walk to Remember.
Exactly. Yeah. Mandy Moore.
That gets me every time.
Every Switchfoot. It's really the Switchfoot song that really gets me. Mm. Only Hope. You want to sing it, Hunter?
No. I almost sang a Nickelback song.
And they say that a
look
hero
at this photograph.
Can save us.
But yeah, the movie that I'm thinking of is actually called Inside Out. So I have to watch this movie by myself because let me tell you about my first experience watching Inside Out. I was 22 years old, so I mean, I was like an adult, right?
That is an adult age. That is correct.
That is an adult age.
You were one for one today.
Yeah, thank you. Killing it right now. But I went in so, so blindly to this movie and what would happen
to
me emotionally.
And I think that's probably your problem is when you watch a movie with your eyes closed, it makes it real tough to understand.
You're right. I just had a banana on the whole time. Oh my gosh. This is what it's like every day at the office, everybody.
I'm really afraid that this whole thing is going to be me making fun of you. And people, please know that I love Amy Anderson. Amy is one of the most talented people on our team. And
Thank you. That's the first encouragement you've given to me in 4 years. You're right. That's not true. But I was literally so blindsided by this movie because it destroyed me, this movie, right? I remember weeping, not just like pretty crying. It was like ugly crying.
Like the way Thai food destroys me? Or?
Yeah, except like through the eyes.
Man, that's a visual. Okay, keep going.
Lost that one. Yeah, so here's the thing about Inside Out. It did stir a lot of things emotionally in me, but two of my favorite characters were anger and sadness. So anger, I think, was probably one of my favorite characters because he looks like a live-action Sour Patch Kid. And just like has flames coming out of his head. Sour Patch Kids are so great. That's literally what he looks like. He's like a little square. But then sadness, I love because it's kind of like a uncomfortable like enjoyment of her because she's, you know, this kind of awkward character. No one like really likes it. So it's like a really, really like sadness, right? But I like love anger and I love sadness. But really what that movie did, which might sound ridiculous, but it's true, it made me begin to process the emotions of anger and sadness for myself. Like, what does that look like for me? What is sadness? What is anger? How do I experience those things? And I think I'm not the only one with those questions. I think we all have questions about anger and sadness, and that's actually what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, I process a lot after I watch Disney movies.
Mm, right.
I don't even know if that's Disney. But like, watch Frozen 2 the other day. Mm-hmm. Had a lot to process.
Yeah. It's on my quarantine movie list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of magic.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you sang along. You did a sing-along version?
Didn't know the songs, but I would have if I did.
Oh, yeah. I bet. Yeah, so, yeah. Hunter really likes sing-along movies, everybody. I don't know if you knew that or not. So just send him a lot of suggestions.
That is true. All right. So for those of you who don't remember, we are in week 4 out of 5 of our Question, Lies, and Truth series. So we've covered shame, we've covered guilt, we've covered fear, anxiety, worry. And so today we're going to be talking about those two things that you mentioned, anger and sadness. So What is anger? What is sadness? And why in the world would you pair those two together?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. And so we're going to take them one by one. So anger, and I actually talked with many of you guys, hopefully listening to this podcast, about what you would describe anger as. And the list that I got were things like frustration, irritation, or getting the anger out somehow. Or it's anger directed towards people and it's shown to people. Those are some of the common things that I got. But so I kind of try to put that in a simple definition. Other people might have different definitions for anger, but I would say anger is a strong emotional reaction to a real or perceived injustice, hurt, or failed expectation. And another thing about anger is too, it's actually an emotion that I think exposes our desires the most. And let me give you like a few examples maybe to help frame this for you guys. So we all love being stuck in traffic, right? If we're stuck in traffic and we get angry because the person next to us cut us off or it's not moving and we get angry.
Do you remember that one time you yelled at me in traffic?
Yeah, I do. I remember that. It was I was really, really upset you cut me off. And so this example is exactly about Hunter House for me. So real time. But the reason that I got angry at you is because you kept me from getting on time to this appointment that I desire to be at. Yeah, and so I think that it's a similar thing for anger. We can get angry because of our missed expectations. We have a desire that is not being met currently.
All right, let me tell you two things that really make me angry. Okay, we're just going to get practical here.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Number one, when FSM students crush communion cups. And if you're listening, you know who you are. We
call out.
Yeah, we're in the middle of this great thing that the church has been doing for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you hear...
And it takes us out of the moment.
Yes, and we have to clean them all up. So that would be number one. Number two is when people say Pacific instead of specific. Like when someone goes, hey, I got a few Pacific things I want to talk to you about. I'm like, oh, really? Like Hawaii? Oceanic currents? Like,
oh, because they mean
what,
the ocean.
What Pacific things do we need to discuss, Amy? Anyways, those
are the
two things.
Well, these
are the
Pacific things that we're going to discuss about. Did you feel angry when I did
also,
that?
Also, asterisk. It's not an asterisk. It's an asterisk. Please pronounce the
asterisk.
S, people. Yes. Did you mess that one up?
For sure. Please don't.
Well,
get
now you
me.
Know. Hey, now everyone listening, please don't say asterisk.
Yeah, please don't.
Asterisk.
Yeah, so we all know what makes Hunter angry. That's a strong emotional reaction to saying certain words wrong or communion cups being crushed, right? But maybe an even more helpful way to frame it is this author, Chip Dodd, which we're going to continue to hear from him throughout this teaching, says that anger shows the presence of passion. We're passionate about something. And two, it indicates the experience of some other feelings, like sadness. So with sadness, to give a kind of a working definition of that, I would say sadness is, once again, an emotional response to loss of any kind, big or small. So examples could be when you don't make the sports team that you desire.
Never happened to me. Yeah. I always made the teams.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm 6'4".
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
you can't see me.
You just dominated the basketball
court out
there.
They don't know.
Hey, you got some skills. We've seen it at Memphis before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be something like not making the team or sadness over the loss of a grandparent or parents getting divorced or even right now. I mean, there's probably some sadness over a loss, not being able to see our friends at school or being able to go to places we normally would right now in the midst of this pandemic we're in right now.
So why those two together, anger and sadness?
Yeah. Well, not always, but I think most of the time, I think anger and sadness can be felt together. Both emotions, typically what I would describe, bring friends along with it. They're not just these emotions that you experience in isolation. So let me give you a couple examples, right? Hunter, have you seen the movie Infinity War?
Never.
Oh,
no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, me neither. It's just like this global blockbuster that just...
I only watch G-rated movies produced by Christian producers.
Like Fireproof and... Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, yeah.
And
Walk to Remember.
They say that a hero
There's actually a new Christian
us.
Movie out. I still believe, I believe.
I still believe.
Didn't mean to say that. That was a... But so, let me tell you the first time I watched Infinity War. I remember leaving the theater, Skylight Cinema. I was with some FSM students and leaders, and I was... so angry at Disney for what they did at the end of Infinity War. When all the Avengers like turned into dust, I was so unbelievably angry. I was livid.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Even right now, I feel
Spoiler.
It, right?
Spoiler.
Oh, sorry. Well, sorry. If you haven't seen it by now, that was like 2 years ago. Sorry.
I was going to watch that with my kids.
Add it to your quarantine list. Mm. But at the same time, was I weeping? Yes. So there was anger and sadness paired together in this. But
You tend to cry a lot at the end of movies, it sounds like.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Just
it's
help
thanks for calling me out on that, man. I needed that.
You're a movie crier.
Hey, don't put that on me. That's not my identity, all right? But I think a more serious example, not that Infinity War is not serious, right? But 2 months ago, I was feeling this low-grade frustration and annoyance. I could feel it. Whether it be like towards people, whether it be towards even myself, and it came out in like sarcasm towards people. I was on edge a lot. And then one of my discipleship girls actually encouraged me to process this. And so once I sat down with the Lord and started journaling, anger started to come out towards the Lord with some specific. Did I say it right?
You did.
Nailed it. Circumstances in my life, and about 10 minutes into this journaling and talking to the Lord, I began to cry because sadness also came online for me because I was angry and I was sad over these circumstances in my life. So both of them were in real time for me. So that's why we're pairing them together. And often they can overlap. And I think there's also a lot of different factors too that feed into these emotions that we need to get clarity on as believers. So that's why we're also talking about them together.
Cool. Hey, yeah. Let's take a pause. You say you're a movie buff. So a little random trivia for Amy Anderson. When Dumbledore and Harry first visit Horace Slughorn, what is he disguised as?
A chair. Armchair.
We'll see if you are correct.
Nailed it.
All right.
Come on. Challenge
Moving
me.
Moving on. I'm going to get you. Don't worry. So with all these different inputs from culture,
yeah,
what do you think are a few of the lies that believers get tripped up in when it comes to anger and sadness?
Yeah, I think there are probably a lot of different lies that we can believe about anger and sadness as believers, but here are the two big ones that I see. If someone feels sad or angry, I just need to fix it immediately. And I think there's a couple different responses people can give. One I would call the pump-up coach. The one who's like, focus on the positive. God is using this. Yeah, the pump-up coach. We all know the pump-up coach. I can be the pump-up coach at times.
You're a great pump-up coach.
Thank you. Yeah, see, even like, yeah, I'm trying. And then the aggressor is the other one I like to title it. And they would say things like, we're going to read all these Bible verses and do all these things because we need to know truth. Like, they just immediately go to the truth, which we need truth, but they can be a little aggressive about it.
Yeah. You
know? Like a coach. And then the dismissive one, which might be the worst one out of all, at least for me, my experience would be, yeah, life is just really hard, isn't it?
Yeah, Debbie Downer.
Yeah, that would be the dismissive.
What's Debbie Downer from? Do you know?
Oh, SNL.
Let's go. Cultured Amy.
Yeah, I know.
Yo.
Ooh, yo. Like, I know. Please.
Well, let's see how cultured you are.
Okay, here
Random
we go.
Trivia. Okay. What is the only state in the U.S. that begins but does not end with the letter A? 3 seconds. 1, 2.
Well, I was going to say Arizona,
well,
but then
you don't hear about this state a lot. It's called Arkansas. So,
oh gosh,
it's okay.
I'm an idiot.
It gets misplaced a lot. We forget that it even exists. So, it's
where
all
are
good.
We right now? We're definitely not. We're in it.
Hey, not a big deal. Don't
NWA,
be ashamed.
Okay.
Hey, don't be sad.
You're right. I'm so sad.
We're gonna go look at scripture and see what it has to say.
You're right. So sorry. Oh man. Well, that leads into the next lie that I think that we believe as believers, which would be I shouldn't feel this way as a believer.
I actually think you should be sad about not knowing Arkansas, but that's okay. But
what are you talking about?
Yeah. Not a big deal.
Only born and raised here.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't feel this way as a believer. That's the other lie. Right. And so basically what that lie is saying is I shouldn't feel anger or sadness. I should be joyful. I should be happy because the Lord is good because he's given me all these things because of the gospel, which is all true.
Well, especially when you see things in culture like prosperity gospel or someone who's constantly teaching that, man, to be a follower of Jesus means that you're supposed to live your best life, to be happy, to be rich, to be whatever.
Right.
I mean, it completely downplays a lot of what it means to follow Jesus, which,
right,
like we mentioned last week, is that you will face trouble in the world. It is going, right, to be hard.
Right. And I think whenever I'm in anger and sadness, what is in the most helpful for me if someone just tells me, hey, that makes a lot of sense. You're not alone in that. Because it gives me the freedom to feel that because I don't think we're made to be robots because God made us to have emotions. So I think these lies can come from a skewed view of God and the Bible and are shaped kind of by culture.
Which one do you see as kind of the most popular?
I think with FSM students, I would see I shouldn't feel this way as a believer.
Why do you say that?
Because I think there can be a mentality of, man, like, if I'm a believer, like, I should always be joyful. I should always be, which is so good. We should be joyful because we have some things to be joyful about. But they can take that to an extreme of, no, I can't feel anger. I can't feel sadness. I can't express this because that's bad and that's not honoring to the Lord.
That's good. I think a lot of our cultural experiences, whether it be the way that we grow up in our family, even, a lot of them even unintentionally shape the way that we view anger and sadness and other emotions and whether we should or should not have them. And so the best place for us to go is to Scripture to really see what does God say about these two. So I want to go there. But before we do, a little Harry Potter trivia because you say that I can't stump you. So okay. What does Slughorn want to collect from Aragog after he dies?
His fang. Because it has venom in it.
She got it again.
Super nerd over here.
Yeah, good
two
old
for two.
Harry Potter. Okay, so back to anger and sadness. What does the Bible actually say about these two emotions?
Yeah, so scripture actually has a lot to say about anger and sadness, which might surprise people, and especially it surprised me, even as I've studied this, like, wow, there's a lot. So we're not going to be able to go over all of them, but for both anger and sadness, I want to go over two different verses for each. One where we see a character in scripture displaying that emotion, and then maybe a teaching on that emotion. So let's start with anger. How about that? So, and here's where I want to go to then, and displaying anger is when Jesus is angry in the temple. It's Matthew 21, verses 12 through 13. So you guys actually might be familiar with this because it was taught on a couple weeks ago in Lent, in our Lent series through Clarity, that Jesus, whenever he goes in, he clears the temple. And here's what Matthew 21 verses 12 through 13 says. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." I don't know about you, but I've never been so mad that I've overturned tables.
Oh, I have.
Oh, really? When was that for you?
Last night at dinner.
Oh, that's right.
I picked up our kitchen table. I threw it out the window.
Wow, man.
Hank would not eat his mac and cheese. Mm.
Yeah, you got to show him. You got to show him, hey, you got to eat that mac and cheese. You can't waste it, you know?
He knows now. Boss. Yeah, I proved a point.
Mm, you absolutely did. Just like Jesus proved his point.
Yeah.
And I think there are a couple different things that we can take away from this is that, one, that Jesus displayed anger. And so if we're trying to be like Jesus and want to follow him, there's an element of it seems that anger is an okay emotion to display. But the important thing is to look at what was Jesus angry about. And he was angry that these people, they were coming into the temple to worship. And these people who were selling the animals that were being offered for sacrifice or hiking up the prices or maybe not even letting some people buy them. And he was angry because these people were hindering them from worshiping God and from coming to him and experiencing his presence. And that was what Jesus was angry about. It was a righteous anger is how I would describe it. But the scripture also has a lot of just like teachings on anger. And one that I wanted to look at was James 1 verses 19 through 20. Probably a familiar verses to you guys, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. James 1 verses 19 through 20. I think this will give us some clarity on what anger should not look like as a believer. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So what we can gain from that is there also can be some unhealthy anger, some anger that doesn't lead to a righteousness of God and doesn't lead us closer to him or to his will. And we have to guard against that as believers.
Okay, so go ahead and flesh that out a little bit more because it's kind of confusing to think, oh, we can be angry because Jesus was angry. Oh, but we're not supposed to be angry because that doesn't produce the righteousness of God. So help me understand that.
Yeah, that's great. There seems to be a distinction between God-honoring anger and what I would call maybe a me-centered anger. And it's to give a few descriptions of each. So God-honoring, what we see in scripture and even what we see from Jesus, the display of anger is that, and it's anger towards things that God gets angry at, which would be injustice. Maybe towards people who are different than us or people who are just have maybe less fortunate, like minorities, like that injustice is something God gets angry at, or sin or pain or keeping people from knowing God. Like that is something worthy of being angry at, right? That's what Jesus reflects to us. And also God honoring anger has patience and it speaks to heal. Like there are times that we're gonna have to speak truth to people, maybe have some hard conversations, but it's not to speak to harm that person. It is to speak to heal this relationship. And then I think another thing about God honoring anger is there's honesty. It's honest with God about their anger towards things, others, or even him sometimes. There's been times that I've been angry at God himself over things. So those are the three quick things about God honoring. But maybe a me-centered anger would be the exact opposite. It would be easily offended. That's what I would say is maybe the trademark of a me-centered anger is someone says something or does something and you feel easily just offended by that or be like, oh, I take that personal. It causes this anger and you want to hurt that person. Or maybe you want to try to manipulate and control them because of what was said to you or maybe done to you. And they're just easily offended. And then the other thing about me-centered is that it speaks to hurt. So it's the exact opposite of God-honoring anger. And I would be the first to say, like I have done everything on the me-centered list. Going back to my example from a few months ago, when I was beginning to process some anger and sadness with the Lord, at that time, I was easily offended. People joked with me and I became defensive. Any perceived criticism, I put that person at arm's distance. I caught myself trying to manipulate through sarcastic comments towards others. And ultimately, that was me speaking to hurt others. Here's just a quote from Paul David Tripp that helps clarify what righteous anger is. This is what he says. Perhaps our problem regarding anger is not just that we are often angry for wrong reasons, but that we are not angry often enough for the right reasons.
That's good. Mm. So is it possible in something, like in the same situation, to have righteous anger or unrighteous anger, me-centered? So for instance, what's the proper way to respond if someone spells your last name wrong? A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, Amy Anderson.
Well, for everyone listening, by the way, my name is A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N, not S-O-N.
Anderson.
Sorry, that was me-centered anger. So sorry. That was me being sarcastic there. Yeah, the proper way for me to respond would be to be patient and to be like, okay, my name is, this is how it's spelled.
My name is what? My name is who? My name is Wicca Wicca Slim Shady.
Definitely didn't know that.
I don't think she would have filled it in.
Not cultured enough for that. Not cultured enough for that. Please help me.
All right. So what does scripture say about sadness? We've talked about anger, but what about the other one?
Yeah. So scripture has a lot to say about sadness, just like anger. And we won't have enough time to go over all of them. But the one I want us to look at for display of sadness is when Jesus weeps over Lazarus. And that's in John 11, verses 33 through 35.
I know that one.
Oh, what is it? You know.
Jesus wept.
Nailed it. Shortest verse in the Bible. Are you going to memorize that one this week, Hunter?
Nah, it's too long.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Way too long. Here's what John 11, verses 33 to 35 says. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Hunter, here's your verse. Jesus wept. So long, really hard to memorize. But what I love about those verses and what it teaches us about sadness is, one, just like Jesus displayed anger, he also displayed sadness. He displayed sadness over a loss that he had, a loss of his friend. And he displayed sadness in response to other people's sadness. He didn't just let them sit alone in their sadness. He actually felt it with them. And then he was open about it. He let his community see his tears. So Jesus does not deny or scold us in our sadness. He's the one that walks us through sadness, because I think there's hope with Jesus in our sadness. So that's what I love about those verses. But a teaching on sadness, a verse that I think we all know, it's from the Sermon on the Mount, is Matthew 5, 4. It says, "Those who mourn will receive comfort." And the reason I picked that one is it just, once again, it says that we're going to mourn as believers. There's going to be hard things. We're going to experience losses. Whether it be loss of friendships, family members, we're going to experience just hard things that are going to make us sad. Different seasons, like even seniors graduating, like that is something to be sad over. There's a grief in this loss of the season of life that you've experienced for so long.
Well, and I think even right now with everything going on with coronavirus, like there's a ton of sadness of loss of what could have been, whether it was a sport that you were playing that got canceled, or seniors not getting to finish school, or even like some of our college students, like that closure is just not there. And so I know people everywhere experiencing some type of sadness and loneliness in this season.
Yeah. I mean, I know our team's feeling the sadness of not being on spring break trips right now. Like, I wish I could be with my Minnesota team right now and doing ministry together. I know you wish you could be in England right now with your team. So there's sadness over that. But it's a promise that we also receive comfort because we know the Lord.
Yep. So there are a lot of good things in this verse, but what does it look like practically to live out biblical sadness?
Yeah, it's also a great question. And I think once again, with anger, like we're going to let ourselves feel the sadness. I think that's a part of biblical sadness, is just letting ourselves experience it because of the brokenness in this world. And we know it's not supposed to be this way, that we should let ourselves feel the sadness of that, big and small things. And the other big thing I would say is biblical sadness, I think, is meant to be done in community. It doesn't mean you won't have alone time to be sad, but I think we're meant to bring other people into that and to be with other people in their sadness. And on the flip side, sadness that I would describe maybe as a worldly sadness would say, nah, it's not that bad. I don't need to feel sad over that. I'm just going to keep going. And it's also sadness and isolation. Like, I don't want anybody to see my sadness. So there are a couple practical things. Like with me, feeling sad about Minnesota, I needed to let the team in on that. I need to let them know that I was sad. And by letting people in and the Lord into that, it just, it helped heal and bring me comfort.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be eating fish and chips right now.
Yeah, on that tartar sauce.
English accent.
Yeah, English accent.
My accents are really good.
Hey, do your Mr. Tumnus accent.
I give you a world tour in 30 seconds because they all start just coming together. My Peruvian accent is like a this.
Is that Peruvian?
This is my Peruvian. Yeah, I was supposed to be talking like this. I'm pretty good at accents.
Yeah, I could tell that's totally one of your...
Well, the wind on yonder. Okay. So sadness is actually something really healthy for us to feel, but why do we fight so hard against it? Why do we not want to be sad in this world?
Yeah, to answer that, I think actually I'm going to use somebody else's words instead of mine because they're just be much
that's,
more.
That's normally what I do. My words mean nothing.
It's just my words are just empty and really.
Your words are great, Amy. I don't want you to downplay yourself. Wow, don't be sad. Don't be angry.
Wow, the second encouragement that I've had from Hunter in this podcast. What a gift. But this is actually from Chip Dodd, the guy that I quoted earlier. He says, to avoid this label of sadness, we often hide our sadness behind a facade of false strength or deny it to those with whom we have relationships. We equate sadness with weakness, lack of dependability, or even faithlessness. So I think we fight hard against sadness because we think we're weak if we feel sad. But actually what I see in scripture is that we feel this emotion because God has made us to value good and beautiful things. Like, I value Onyx coffee and a good pad thai. I know you do as well, Hunter.
Yeah,
and those are good and beautiful things.
Runs
and if
out
we,
of my eyes.
Yes, exactly. You're right. The things that runs out of your eyes, right? And I know that's a small example. Like, man, not being able to get those right now. Like, there's a sadness to it, right? And I know that's a more silly example, but man, we feel sad over losing the things that we value. And then here's maybe a more serious example. When two of my dearest friends moved last fall to a different city, if I wasn't sad about that, you guys would probably think, is she actually friends with them? Like, if I was like, no, that's fine, you would question if I actually valued them. So
I would question that.
Yeah. But
I would. I'd be like, Amy, you're not a true friend.
I'm like, Amy, you're not a true friend. You probably like, do you even like them? Right? So I think if we don't let ourselves feel anger or sadness in healthy ways, it can also numb us to true joy and delight in the Lord and with others. So I think we as believers need to try to walk biblically in both sadness and anger, even when it's hard.
That's good. So let's get practical for us and everyone listening. What are some of the steps that we can do as we experience anger and sadness? Because I know somebody's going to say Pacific to me or asterisk, and I'm going to be like, bro, what are you doing?
Well, Hunter, great question. Here's what you can do. Let me feel the anger in that moment. Okay. One, first thing, just recognize that you're angry.
I am angry.
Just recognize, like, okay, how do I know that I'm angry? Like, what's...
Because you said Pacific.
Exactly. So recognize that you're angry. And then this is the big thing. This is the hardest thing. Point number two, slow down and don't react in that moment. James 1, 19 through 20 says, like, hey, be slow to speak, slow to anger. So recognize you're angry and then just pause, even for 30 seconds, and slow down.
I love that.
And don't react.
Well, so I've heard someone much smarter than me say, do you know what the difference between responding and reacting is?
Oh, tell us.
About 3 seconds.
Okay.
Think of, oh, that is so deep.
Ooh, that was deep. Let me count out 3 seconds.
Yeah.
1 second, 2 second, 3 second, done.
Yeah.
Reacting.
So, and basically what that means is when you respond immediately, that's actually just you reacting. But if you'll just take a breath and hold it for, not hold your breath, like you're on a bridge.
Right, just keep breathing.
But if you just hold back those emotions that you're feeling just for a few seconds and let that anger die down, it can turn into a response rather than a reaction, which is really helpful.
Right, yeah.
I get angry really quickly. I don't know if it's short man syndrome or whatever it is, because again, I'm 6'4", I'm not short.
Right, no, yeah.
People
yeah,
can't
it's,
see
no,
that.
Yeah.
And so I tend to get angry really, really fast. But that's been really helpful to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And with sadness, I would say one, again, like with anger, just recognize that you're sad. Recognize those feelings and maybe slow down and also be still and ponder, why am I sad? That's a question I ask myself. Like, why am I sad right now? Is it because of what this person said to me? Is it because this circumstance? It just gives us clarity into why we're sad. Because then, in both anger and sadness, my next point would be reach out to God and others. Once you know why you're angry, why you're sad, take time to stop, pray, and give your thoughts, feelings, whatever you have to the Lord. And then text someone about it. Text your cell group leader right now. Ask to FaceTime them. Zoom call them. Done lots of Zoom calls this week. It's been great. It doesn't have to be long, but just reach out to God and to somebody. Yeah, so those are really the big things. Just recognize you're angry or sad, and then slow down and don't react or ponder, why am I sad? And then reach out to somebody else. Those are the 3 points. Pretty simple. And practice those this week. Because we are not created to be alone or isolated. We are created for connection with God and others. And I know right now we're being cautioned and even told to do things that would hinder those connections. And this can and it will stir up
like anger and sadness in each of us over different things, and know that you're not alone. And that practice these small steps. It we feel clunky at first, and that's okay. It's not, we're not meant to be perfect in it. Keep doing them. The goal is not perfection, like I said, but just to keep trying. And please, please keep reaching out to others. If someone comes to your mind that you need to reach out to, just text them right now as you're listening to the podcast, or once you're done with the podcast, text them, see how they're doing, or text somebody and let them know, like, hey, this is what I feel anger about or sad about right now. Set up a FaceTime or a Zoom. I think in this time it would be good for us to be the first to initiate. Because if you feel anger, sadness stirring in you, or have questions, reach out to me. Reach out to Hunter, another staff, your leader, your parents. And just don't wait. Text them now. Would be my greatest encouragement. And I know all this is a lot. Even like preparing this, I'm like, whew, this is a lot. And even talking through, I'm like, man, this is a lot to take in. So I want to end with a quote and a verse that I'm really clinging to in the midst of this. This is from Tim Keller. Tim Keller is great, everybody. If you just need some quarantine books, read anything by Tim Keller. And this is what he says about sadness. He says, everything sad is going to come untrue and will somehow be greater for having once been lost and broken. And I love that quote because it echoes the truth of this verse in Revelation 21, verse 4. It says that Jesus will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And so right now, in the midst of pandemic, in the midst of the unknown, in the midst of anger and sadness, they can be stirring. We have this promise that Jesus sees us in it, that one day he's going to make everything right. This will not be forever. And he's promised that he will use it for our good. And we can hope as FSM in that, and hope as a church body together.
I love that. Amy, thanks so much for sharing this. For those of y'all who don't know, Amy is so gifted in a lot of ways, but really at connecting with girls and processing through things and really helping our team process a lot of this stuff. And so appreciate your wisdom and all this and everything that you shared. Just like last week, we have a handout that's going to go with this to go along with the podcast and devotional. And so you can find those on our app as you go through this kind of stuff. And we want to encourage you to process these things with others. And so before we end, hey, one more trivia. I can't get you with anything Harry Potter.
So I'm going to
go a little different, a little random trivia generator.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells me this: how many dogs survived the sinking of the Titanic?
Ooh, you know, honestly, I think I've heard this one before, but I don't know if I remember the answer. 9.
That's a lot of swimming dogs. It was only 3.
Oh, man. Okay.
I know, which is really crazy that dogs could survive, but Jack couldn't.
Come on. There was room. There was room on that piece of driftwood. Come on, Jack.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week to close out this series. And if you're still listening, just wait just a second to hear from our sponsors. Well, hey, thanks for listening. It's time to thank those people who chose not to sponsor us. And those would be...
Jack Link, beef jerky. The only food in quarantine that smells just as bad when it's good as when it goes bad and is spoiled. Also, Charmin Ultra Toilet Paper. Cannot be found online or in any Walmart or Target nearby, but sold online for $1,000. Thanks for listening. And thanks for those non-sponsorships.